From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, February 19th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
One more person with COVID-19 has died in Maine, a man in his 70s from Washington County. Maine CDC has also reported 134 cases of COVID-19 today. After a record year for Maine real estate, house sales continued to surge in the first month of 2021. According to new figures released by the Maine Association of Realtors, year-over-year sales jumped more than 18% in January, while median home prices were up nearly 16%. President-elect Madeline Wills says more than a third of buyers are now from out of state so far this year, with many no longer just looking at southern Maine.
They want a home that they can recreate from. So a four-season primary residence for them where they can ski, they can go to the lake, they can go to the river. So it's not just, you know, in the cities of southern Maine, but they like a rural environment, especially if they're working from home or if they're homeschooling or both. So we're seeing it across the state. It's statewide.
Hill says scarce housing inventory and low mortgage rates have also played a large role in the booming market. And in Maine, smoking costs more than $800 million a year in health care costs and contributes to nearly 30% of cancer deaths. Health advocates say it's a serious problem, and they say Governor Janet Mills is making a mistake by cutting $5 million a year from state smoking cessation programs. Mal Leary has details.
This year, Maine is spending nearly $14 million on smoking cessation programs. But Governor Mills is proposing to cut $5 million a year over the two-year budget as part of her proposal to keep state revenues in line with expenditures. Hillary Schneider of the American Lung Association's Maine chapter told the legislature's Appropriations Committee that this is not the time to curtail efforts to get people to quit.
In Maine, nearly one in five adults smoke cigarettes, the highest rate in the Northeast. More than one in 15 Maine high school students smoke cigarettes, with a high of 1 in 8 in Washington County.
Snyder says tobacco use is also a risk factor in contracting COVID-19. If the cuts are adopted, she says progress the state has made will be reversed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And in weather tonight, occasional light snow statewide with up to 2 inches in most of the state, up to 4 inches in Portland. Lows in the mid-single digits to the low 20s. Maine's top utility regulators are launching a new effort to prepare Maine's electricity supply and distribution systems for a big transformation. As Fred Bever reports, this is all about accommodating the fast-arriving age of renewable energy, which is already causing some serious growing pains.
Maine Public Utilities Chairman Phil Bartlett says changes in the state's energy systems are gaining speed as the effort to decarbonize the economy puts a new premium on power sources that don't pollute.
And we know that this is just the very beginning of a very difficult transition that we're going to have to make if we're going to electrify our heating and transportation sectors and if we're going to bring on the kinds of renewable resources that we're going to need going forward.
Maine's existing electric grid was mostly built decades ago to accommodate big power generators like hydro dams or oil and gas-fired plants and nuclear stations.
That is all changing. We are expecting more distributed resources on our distribution system. There'll be batteries, storage increasingly added to the system. We also know that there'll be significant increases in load as we put in more heat pumps and as folks transition to electric vehicles. And we need to make sure that the grid is ready for that.
So the Utilities Commission, its staff, and outside consultants are embarking on a comprehensive analysis of the existing system. They're also going to plan for modernization, looking at changes in design, infrastructure, and policy to make it more flexible and reliable, as well as who should pay for it all.
We need to really assess how the grid needs to be changed and how costs are going to be allocated for that, to make sure that we are ready for the future that is coming at us very quickly.
Bartlett adds that the failures of the Texas grid during the recent cold snap were caused by infrastructure conditions quite different from New England's. But he says it illustrates how weather volatility in a climate-changing world will require diverse types of energy supply to secure reliability.
There is going to be an important role for transmission. Had Texas had more robust transmission connections to the other parts of the country, their crisis wouldn't have been nearly as deep because they could have brought resources in. And there are a lot of constraints around the country between regions.
In the coming years, he says, federal and state utility regulators will need to plan more proactively and collaboratively than ever before. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. You can find more stories online at mainepublic.org. Have a good weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.